The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
How are we doing this Sunday morning, fellas?
Chilling,
all right?
Man. You know what's funny, Joe?
You got your little brush over there.
Hey, man, you know, I gotta keep the waves right for everybody on the YouTube.
Hey, the waves, you know what I mean? That's a process.
Yeah.
For some people.
For me, it's God-given.
It's light work.
It's God-given.
Like, easy work.
My hair is very curly. See, the key to waves is your hair has to be curly. And that's what kind of gets, so my hair is naturally curly, so all I have to do is really cut it, and then it's good, you know. But when your hair isn't curly, then you have to do a lot of maintenance to it to make sure we're good. But I was going to say, like, we start the show, and Joe gives us a very energetic good morning, you know.
Yeah.
We don't talk like that before we start.
No.
Things are very, like,
we flip the switch, baby.
Joe was just telling me, man, it was a long night. Like, I just, you know. Man,
Joe's wearing the same shirt this morning as he was yesterday.
Yeah. Like that's how you know it was a long productive day yesterday.
Day.
Yeah, that's what's up. But we never talk like that, and it's always real kind of dry and like it's almost 9 a.m. And then as soon as the red light goes on, good morning. I'm like, man, that's energy that I don't have sometimes.
I'm glad you're here. I don't know what I'm doing.
You got one of these Mountain Dew.
I'm blacked out right now.
Energy
honestly.
Drinks.
Yeah.
And the audacity of Mountain Dew to make an energy drink. If there is one soda that really didn't need to do anything to the actual product because it was full of energy in itself, it was probably Mountain Dew or Jolt.
They needed to add more. They needed to add more.
I guess.
Do love me some Mountain Dew.
What about a mellow yellow?
A big mellow yellow fan.
Or Surge.
Do they still sell mellow yellow? I miss Surge.
Surge is one of the...
They got mellow yellow still around. I feel like I see them rarely, but I think they're still kicking.
Like if I went to Grocery Outlet, Bargain Market, I'd probably see it there.
You might.
Possibly.
Surge is one of the greatest sodas ever invented. I don't care what anybody says. I was a huge Surge guy when it happened. And then there was a point where they were selling Surge for two for a dollar for a 20 ounce, especially in my neighborhood, killing the black neighborhood as much as possible. But we were buying them,
loading them up on Surge.
Oh my gosh, man, Surge was delicious.
Sugary sodas.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to bring the energy, man.
I love it, man. Somebody's got it.
It was a long night. Went to the Post Malone show.
White Iverson.
He played White Iverson.
When he started rapping, he was young.
Hey, dude. You're going to think about me when he's gone.
Man.
Yeah.
Saucing on y'all fools, man.
Swagging.
I hated that song. Post Malone grew on me, and then he kind of went full country.
Yeah, so that was the first time, because I don't like country music, unless it's AI-generated or possibly Brooks and Dunn.
It's one of the greatest songs.
He did a whole country album. So last night was the first time I heard any of his country songs besides the I Had Some Help. You know that one?
I don't.
Don't think I can make this type of mess all by myself.
I don't. George nodded his head like he knows.
No?
I'm not familiar.
No, I've heard it. I'm not the hugest Post Malone fan.
I Had Some Help.
No.
Or Somebody Pour Me a Drink. Somebody Bum Me a Smoke.
See, so I got that crap going through my head that's more
doesn't
poppy
do it for you.
No, I'm sorry. I don't know. I mess with Jelly Roll. I like his voice. You know, Jelly Roll, he's a really, really good voice. So
about to get on a buzz. Yeah. About to get on a roll.
But other than that, I can't tell you I know any one of his songs.
Outside of those two country songs.
I've never chosen to listen to Jelly Roll. Can I add that, please?
Yeah, no, he's not really, like, big anymore, so he's kind of a jelly bite, if you will.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Does like, it matter?
Listen, a jelly?
Yes, as a male.
Jelly, to be a fat ass?
As a male performer.
A jelly donut hole,
as a male
so.
Performer, I honestly think it does. Like, I think it's part of the aesthetic of you,
oh,
like,
God.
Everybody, no, listen, this is a well-known
fact.
You
think the record label's like, hey, Jelly, your streaming numbers have gone down a bit ever since you've dropped a ton of weight.
It's something about the voice. This is a well-known fact. Everybody knows, and ask any older person, Big Luther Vandross was better than Skinny Luther Vandross. It was
Big
just
Kevin
thing.
Love, way better than Skinny Kevin Love.
Was he not?
Big CC Sabathia, bigger than Skinny or Tiny CC Sabathia.
In all those cases, was it not the case?
It was.
I'm sure
that's
we can find
saying.
Some cases where people lost weight and was much better for them.
I don't know. Luka might suck. Now, if Luka comes out and he's less than what he was, because a lot of Luka's gift was the fact that he was just bigger than the other point guards he was playing against. But now if he's Slim Shady at this point, will he still be able to do all the stuff? Now, a lot of it, yes, but I'm just saying, I digress.
To Joe's point, really quickly, there was an instance very recently, Rebel Wilson, you know, the lady that was in Bridesmaids like 15 years ago, lost weight, is kind of
not funny.
As like a leading lady, but not really now. She was told by her agents, don't lose weight. You're the funny fat girl. You're going to lose work.
Melissa McCarthy.
And she actually did.
Melissa McCarthy tried to lose weight, didn't work, gained it back. Now she's funny again. Lizzo, Lizzo built her whole everything on body positivity.
Lizzo's right? Tiny now.
And she's so small now. Like, I mean,
they're all pissed.
Seriously, everything you were talking about, you went against. So again, bigger is sometimes better. Just sometimes.
Well, Jelly Roll, I don't care for his music. We shut up for like the last two songs of his performance anyways. But yeah,
it's cool though. Sounds like a fun night though.
Yeah, I mean, it was at Providence Park. Apparently, for some people, getting in the stadium was absolutely terrible. Like, had to wait like an hour.
Oh, packed house, though.
Or an hour and a half or something like that, which I don't know when or where that happened at, because we just walked up. I think Providence Park kind of, like, gave up on checking security, like, metal detectors at some point. That's like, we just walked in, and I took my hat off and then, you know, took everything out of my pockets. They're like, just go. Just go. I'm like, well,
oh, you
right.
look white enough. Come on in.
I'm like, all right. Sounds good. But I saw plenty of my cowboy brethren in the building.
Oh, I could imagine so.
Because Post Malone is a Dallas Cowboys fan.
That sucks.
He's a notorious Dallas Cowboys fan. He's from the area, and he is a Cowboys fan. He's got a couple Dallas Cowboy lyrics. Always go. What does he say? Always go for it, never punt. Hail Mary, fourth down, Prescott, or something like that.
Just. Sounds like a terrible place over and over again. Don't go for it. Never plan. That coach would be fired.
that's a mad lifestyle, right?
Yeah,
that's a mad lifestyle.
That's insane.
But it was one of those moments where, like, as much as I'm a dead inside Cowboy fan, when I saw other Cowboy fans last night, I was like, hey, baby, go Cowboys.
It's usually how it goes, man. Whenever you see your people.
Let's go, baby.
You know, because that's the one common thread that you might have, especially on this side of the country.
We gotta stick together.
I know a lot of Cowboys fans, but not like honestly not a ton.
I saw a whole family. that was wearing Cowboys gear, a husband, wife, the two kids. I high-fived them all.
Oh, that looks so stupid.
So this is like acceptable garb to a Post Malone
He is a notorious Cowboys fan.
I mean, I get that, but like, so we wear Cowboys. Okay.
I wore my Cowboys hat. Not a cowboy hat, just my Cowboys hat.
Are people so wearing like Kansas City Chiefs garb and Travis Kelce jerseys now showing up to Taylor Swift?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, I'll say this. I'm going to the...
Probably not.
I'm going to Wu-Tang on Tuesday, and I'm wearing a Boobie Miles jersey. So, I don't know. Like,
okay.
It's Texas, I guess, but...
He can run. He can catch.
Yeah.
He can paint your back porch. He can fill up the Gatorade cooler.
Yeah. Boobie Miles, man. One of the best characters ever.
Ow! And he can pass!
And he can pass. Man, his uncle loved him. Uncle loved Boobie Miles, man. So, it sounds like your night was... pretty fun, Joe. Mine's was cool. I had a great day yesterday. I'll say that. Friday night, I took my younger sister.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Friday night, I took my younger sister who just turned 18, right, and just graduated high school. So we went to dinner. I took her to dinner.
Where'd you go?
Brasile Restaurante? I forget the name of the first word, but it was in Gresham.
Something Gabagool?
Yeah, Gabagool, right? It was a restaurant in Gresham, which I wasn't super, super excited about. But the food was actually really good, so I will give them that. But as we were leaving, I guess I
was that amore, as they say.
Sure, I don't know amore, but
that's amore.
I'm just joking.
I don't know amore. I love it.
God. So I go and I stop at a store and everything. It's a liquor store, and after that, I can't find my ID. I can't find my my bank card. Everything is gone. I think I just maybe I misplace it and it falls between the couch cushions or whatever the case is. I'm losing my ass trying to find it yesterday. And at one point, I just give up. My wife is like, man, it's probably somewhere in the house. Don't worry about it. We'll find it. I'm at dinner yesterday at Matador, which is one of my favorite places to go.
Oh, clutch Mexican spot. Oh my God. Margaritas are just
especially
perfect
for happy hour. Like, it's clutch.
Dare I say, margaritas muy bien.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, indeed. I don't know how to say indeed in Espanol, but man, so...
Indeedo.
We're sitting at dinner, and she gets a call, and she was like, oh, here, you talk to him, and hands me the phone. She's like, hey, somebody on WTF Portland just posted a picture of your wallet and your ID and your bank card and said that they have it. And I'm like, what the hell? And then I'm like, great, because at least it's not totally lost and some jerk didn't take it and start swiping, completely. But all of a sudden I get 50 text messages. I get like 100 messages on Facebook and all these things like, bro, are you good? What happened? Are you safe? I'm like, man, what's going on? Like, what happened? And then that's when I get more and more messages that, man, somebody has found my stuff and everything. But luckily, shout out to my guy, Chris, who found it, who's now a Facebook friend of mine. He found it. And
now a like, P1 man, listener, right?
And I hope he's listening. I told him, yeah, I have a radio show. It's no big deal. But, you can listen tomorrow morning if you have nothing to do. But he said he was going to church, so he's a God-fearing man. So I appreciate him for finding it and coming through for your boy. Because
he didn't want to catch a sin.
All in my head, all I'm thinking about is, ugh, I got to cancel all these accounts and I got
to
redo my cards. And I always forget one.
Takes a long time.
And so then, like, Netflix is all of a sudden turned off. And I'm like, what the hell? And remembering I didn't change the card number to that one. So I'm so glad I don't have to do that. So shout out to him, man. And shout out to everybody who, even people I didn't know were messaging me.
Including the Facebook page, Portland WTF.
Portland, man.
Gotta love that.
Thank you. Thank you guys, man. Like, I don't really use it, but I was getting messages from people that I don't even know. Like,
but
hey,
they
man,
care.
Have you seen somebody has your card? I'm like,
are you okay?
Thank you. And then I got a couple.
Blink twice if you need help.
Then I got a couple weird messages. Hey, handsome. Like,
hell yeah.
Okay.
Oh, let's go.
Some of them were dudes though.
Damn it.
Let's party.
I mean, I don't.
Not that there's anything wrong with
it. I appreciate it, but not interested. So yeah, man. But shout out to Portland for coming through for you.
Should have let him on. He should have been a little tease.
No, what are you doing? Ooh, yeah, WID.
Just kidding, not interested.
No, thank you, yeah.
Or drop the ASL.
You're not my side.
Yeah, right? No, I'm good. I appreciate
old
it.
Old AOL though. Days, ASL.
Jeez.
Hey, I appreciate it, though.
Joe, I can't overlook that you said catch a sin. I need to focus on that for just a few seconds.
What?
You oh, gonna man. Catch yeah. a sin?
How do you catch yeah. a sin?
I've never heard
that's what Jesus is saying. Catch this sin.
Yeah, catch this sin, man.
It's like catch this L,
yeah.
you know, but catch a sin. I'm surprised that Damn hasn't it. Been said at a church or something like that.
Oh, man.
I mean,
you don't do the Lord's bidding, you're going to catch this sin.
You're going to catch a sin.
You're going to catch a sin. I mean, it makes sense. It's easy to catch sins, you know. God. They're all around you.
Lust. It's easy to catch
it's
a sin.
It's easy to catch lust, right? It's I saw easy to catch gluttony.
Do you covet that neighbor's stuff?
I saw multiple sins being caught last night at the Post Malone show. It was no holds barred in there. There was chicks using the guy's bathroom. That was making a lot of guys uncomfortable.
Whoa. Oh, really?
Oh, of course, man.
What is this?
Of course.
Oh, like the Cowboys. They're not used to seeing some ladies.
I'm pretty sure a guy behind me, because it was just, the women's line was just, you know, as it goes, insanely long.
This is where porta potties are important. Just get a bunch of them and just line them up.
But there was girls that were cutting in line and just doing the whole, do you mind if I, can I use your
No,
don't
listen, cut, just I mean, say no.
Can I please?
Fellas, it's time to grow a backbone, okay? It's okay to say no to these ladies sometimes.
Well, a guy like, in line even, like we were talking about it, and he's like, well, what are you even going to say? I was like, piss yourself. Piss yourself yeah. right here.
Nah, I'm sorry. I've been waiting, man. I'll be waiting. I'll be quick. I'll be quick. Don't worry.
Got to use the urinal, though.
But no, you're not going to cut me. You're not, because I have to pee just as bad as you. So.
Can I please? Please.
No, I don't care nothing about that.
Can I get you? Is that okay?
No, I don't care nothing about that face. No, thank you.
There's, women using men's bathroom, throw up in the sink. There are sins being caught all over the place.
Sounds like a good time, low-key.
It was. I had a little bit of a little chocolate beforehand.
Yeah.
A little THC
Feeling groovy?
Yeah, man. It was great.
Sounds like a Beavers football game.
Oh, man. That's exactly what it sounds like.
People
man.
Throwing up in sinks?
Yeah.
Let's go. Usually, they're just peeing in the concourse. That's the videos I've seen there.
Well, that's a Husky fan, so.
Oh, was that a Husky fan at an Oregon State game?
I do believe it was not a Beaver fan, but, I mean, God, when Rashad and I went to the UNLV game, I literally had two
people just pissing everywhere.
Yeah. No, two fell on me because they were so drunk.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, they were feeling real good in Corvallis that night.
Hey, man, go Beavs. Did they win that game?
No. They did not win that game.
They came back close. We left, and then they almost came back.
Run, Reb, run, baby.
Sorry for that. Actually, we're not. We're going to have another great season this year.
Well, it seems like we got some team pride today. I met all my Cowboys fans. Another dude I met had the Cowboys star on his elbow.
Yikes.
On the elbow going.
That's a painful tattoo.
I'm like, hell yeah, brother.
See, I want the Mariners compass, but not like the S. If I got the logo that everybody knows.
Just a giant one right in the middle of your chest.
Just
right
on my nipples,
right
actually.
In your sternum. Yeah, that's what I was telling Melody. Compasses. I was like, can I get
them both? Yeah.
I was like, can I get the Cowboys stars, just one on each nip?
That actually, you know what?
I'm sure lady would love that.
I would understand that more than just a giant star. I really would.
Yeah, tattoo your belly button.
But Cowboys star right over right there. Or the kneecaps.
Yeah. See, then you look a little mentally ill, I think.
No, man. Cowboys fans are already mentally ill. We don't need a tattoo to show that. But yeah, Rashad's got that UNLV pride.
The Rebs.
Running Rebels.
I think it's about time we show our Blazers pride, baby. Well, in the week that they had. No?
All right. I mean, I'm still getting... Still adjusting, but I'm getting warmer.
Yeah, let's just try and show our Blazers pride, shall we? Let's get excited for the last or for the next couple of segments over the couple moves that have been made. Because Rashad, I don't know about you, but I definitely my mind's shifting a little bit here as far as being a Blazer fan. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's shifting. Let's get into a couple of the moves that were made this week. The draft pick of Young Hansen, the trade of Anfernee Simons for Drew Holiday. We probably got a whole loaded first hour of Blazers stuff. We'll get into some of the NBA draft as Rashad shakes his head in disgust with his face in his hand.
It's not disgust. We'll talk.
It definitely looked like
it's
disgust.
It's not disgust. We'll talk, though.
But we get to that next. Blazers, you have your newest star, perhaps? He's already a star to me. We get to Young Hansen, the new rookie Portland Trailblazer, next here. The Blazers had the number 11 pick in the NBA draft. It gets to about pick 9 or 10. That's when the news comes out that says, hey, we're going to trade down, and we're going to get an extra first-round pick out of it, too. I believe, what was it, a 2029 Orlando Magic unprotected first-round pick or something like that. But it came from Memphis. That was probably part of the Desmond Bane trade, is my guess. And they select with number 16 pick, center out of China, Yang Hansen. Which my immediate reaction was probably like a lot of people. Who? What? Is this a joke? He's coming out of... okay, he's a real person. He's coming out of the stands. There he is. Oh, he's a Chinese dude. Oh, he's 7 foot two. He's giant. Oh, someone in somewhere called him the Chinese Jokic.
Best in the world.
It's like, what? I thought I was being punked. I thought I was being tricked. And my son, he was looking at me as I was like, when the draft went down, he's like, what's wrong? Is this okay? And I was like, dude, I was like, I haven't ever heard of this guy. But we have heard of him now, and we're going to know of him a lot more over the next few years because he is the newest Portland Trailblazer. Initial thoughts, Rashad, on this draft move?
WTF Portland.
Hey, that's the page, page
that saved me are also the letters that plague me right now.
I think
now
there was a post of year ID, and then the post the day before was the announcement of the Blazers draft pick.
Like, come on, man. Like, listen, okay. I was just telling Joe this, and as a Blazer fan at this point, I think a lot of us are just looking for transparency. We've been kind of under this thought that we're gonna be active and we're gonna be aggressive in what we do, and we're gonna give this for Dame, or we're gonna try to replace Dame with this, and we're gonna try to move in this direction, and it's not a rebuild. All these little things that we've heard, and we've really yet to see the fruits of that labor at this point. For me as a fan, and I was just telling Joe this during the break, and I know it'll probably never happen, but I think this fan base deserves it. I think there are a couple fan bases in the NBA that are really, really struggling to find their footing. And at this point, man, I don't want to be sold any more dreams. Tell me something real. If Joe Cronin had came out and just said, before the draft, we know what we want. If that person is there, that's what we're going to take. But we've been scouting this person for a couple of seasons. We're confident that this is going to be something to help this franchise. Cool. That's all you have to say. You don't have to tell me anything else. If that person is on the board at the time it's time for us to pick, we will take them because we are confident in what they can do, and we're confident what they'd be able to do with this team. That's all I need to know. Instead of the night before the draft or the night of the draft, nobody was pumped about the 11th pick in the first place. And then you trade down to the 16th pick for a 2028 draft pick. Okay, and then that draft pick that you take wasn't even invited to sit in the crowd in the initial night. He was in the stands with the fans and his family. He didn't even know he was going to be drafted that day.
He came down like Sting from the rafters.
Man,
pretty crazy. That's a very scene. Good. Yeah, man, has that ever happened before?
I've never seen.
I'm pretty sure Giannis came out of the stands.
Oh, did he?
Wow. Yeah, forgot that.
I've never seen, but Giannis was.
I mean, don't quote me on
but
that.
But Giannis was invited to be there in the first round because he knew
he's baby Giannis too, baby.
Yeah. I don't think you would be invited by the NBA and not given a table. Like,
that's crazy.
I think those dudes show up because they want to be drafted, hopefully. And maybe people have told them, oh, you could go first round, you know, or even if the second round, whatever. But yeah,
to be honest,
anyways.
Went 15, so same part of the draft. Usually they used to invite like the first 20, 25 guys, and I think that number has been pared down over the years. But don't quote me on that. But this is Giannis in 2013. This was Yang Hansen in 2025. So I don't.
Yeah, so I don't anyways. Know. For me, man, I would have, and it'll never happen. And that's kind of one of the things I hate about being a fan. Like, we're never going to get an explanation. We're never going to get, like, an apology. We're never going to get, like, any type of...
Listen, I understand what you're saying. It would be nice to get that, but what team...
It's not going
to... I mean, what team has ever done that?
No, it's never going to happen. And it's never going to happen. But
not even just the Blazers. I'm talking, like, every team is like, oh, this is what our draft process is.
Because they feel like they owe us nothing at the end of the day. They feel like
it's just the draft. There's always... everybody's always super secretive of it, and they don't want to give a lead to anything about what they might be doing.
And
so.
Again, you don't have to. That the stuff that and I this, said was, this, was has is not, I'm not giving away a team. I'm not giving away an age. I'm not even giving away a country. I'm simply saying, like, hey, man, we know who we want. So we're confident if they're there, that's who we're going to take. And we've been scouting this person for a couple years. So I think we're confident in what we're doing. Cool.
But
nothing else.
They've already. So the thing is they've already come out and said this all after the fact. And I don't think you can say it before the fact, because that's just going to add even more pressure that this dude's legit. Like, well, we know who we want. And we're telling you right now, if he's there, we're going after him because we've been scouting. Like,
but isn't that what you want to think?
But
as a fan, also, like, was you drafting somebody, don't you want to believe, like, this dude is legit? We're going
to
be good.
Them saying all this already, like, after that, like, it goes to show how much they love his game and love his talent, that the fact they've been recruiting him for this long, that Joe even saying that it was a reach, but we wanted to make sure we took him when we could, because there could have been other teams. Like, and also after the fact is draft day is that they say that the Nets and possibly the Timberwolves were both, you know, considering using a first round pick. And so the Timberwolves had number 17 and the Blazers didn't want to take the chance of either trading back down again or trading for a later pick to, you know, and if your guy is there, you know, use the draft pick. And so I understand that. It does not mean that it's right, and it does not mean that it's not a massive reach for a guy that, yeah, nobody in this area, unless you are an absolute hoops head that is locked in on the draft process and all the recruits and prospects, then, you know, good for you for knowing who Yang Hansen was. But for all of us.
Bro, he better be Colt.
I'm rooting for him. Cold. I mean, obviously I'm rooting for him, but also, he already seems super likable.
Absolutely.
He does.
So check it out. So Wednesday happens and I'm pissed by Friday. And I've seen him a little bit. And of course people are sending me, you know, YouTube clips of him, you know, working out or of him playing and stuff like that. Like he's clearly got some skill, a little slow lumbering, but
I call him the Chinese chocolate.
Is that what you? Is that's what you're
gonna call him? The way he passes it.
Oh yeah, he's definitely. He's got some vision. He's got some court vision.
You guys are falling into it already. Like this, Rashad already pointed it out. This is the most Portland Trail Blazers-esque type of pick. The selling hope. It's the future that's coming here with the amazing transcendent talent that we found that nobody else had their eyes on. We were so scared somebody was gonna snag him from us. Like that is just the most Portland spin I've ever heard. I'm going conspiracy theory, tinfoil hat, just thinking that the multiple reports that have come out that agents were steering their clients away from Portland, they didn't want because of the situation with the ownership, with selling, with, yes, this coach getting extended, but Joe Cronin, who wasn't even interviewed for the job, just given it to him, or it was given to him. There's really no future, like, for sure for any of these guys. So maybe this, just according to my tinfoil hat, was Portland reacting to agents saying, hey, we don't want our guys going to your team because we don't know what the hell's going on there. So we're like, we'll just pluck this international free agent. We'll spin it back a year and a half. We've been after this guy. Like, I am not convinced of this story. I'm just not.
I wish I were convinced. I'm kind of not either. I do like some of what I see from him as far as, like, what I saw in him playing in, like, the combine and stuff like that. I like his footwork for him being that tall. He is a great passer, which is, I think, what draws so much comparison to Jokic. He was defensive player of the year, which means he's at least committed to the defensive end, which I can get behind.
Well, the draft analysis says his defense is not good. So
yeah, I mean, you're 7'2". You can at least learn how to block shots. I don't know if, you know, Klingon's defense is great, yeah, but he's still 7'19 and can block a whole bunch of shots when he's down there. He has great instincts. So I think those are things that can be learned.
Sean Bradley, who was 7'6". Like, yeah. Come on. You can get posterized.
You can, for sure, 100%. Kobe dunked all over Yao. Like, I mean, so you definitely can get posterized. But there are some things that I did like about what I saw. I just, my first thing was, well, yeah, but it happened in the Chinese League. You know what I'm saying? And, like, I totally understand that this is great. But I think Marbury went over to the Chinese League and averaged like 1,000.
He's getting 80 pieces on him.
Yeah, so I mean, and that's when he could barely average 12 to 13 in the league anymore. So it's just, I feel like you have to take it with a grain of salt. Maybe he turns into Yao. Who knows? Maybe he does turn into baby Jokic and everything. So I guess now we don't have a choice but to be patient. Like, I remember being really pissed off about a number 6 overall pick named Damian Lillard. Because who the F is Damian Lillard? What are you talking about? From where? Weber State in the same conference that Portland State plays in? He's our star now? That worked out pretty well for us, right? So it's happened more often than not where some of these guys come and surprise you from the 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 pick, whatever. So we'll see.
Well, let's take a quick break. We got some audio on the other side of Chauncey Billups and then a quote from Young, which has gone viral and has endeared him with already many, not just Blazer fans, I think just people in general, his relatability to us and his lifestyle choices. So we'll get to that next here on Sports Sunday on 10 of the Fan. But first, Jordan Schultz with a SportsCenter update.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Well, Roger Goodell, I'll never forget the Mariota. It's like, dude, come on.
Yeah. Oregon.
Well, yeah, gosh, that's...
I hate that.
It's obvious everybody. One guy practices, one doesn't.
So that was the Blazers draft pick being announced, Young Hansen. Let's listen to a little bit from him, from Joe Cronin and Chauncey Billups, shall we? This is Chauncey Billups saying that he likes Young's game.
One of the things I love the most is just kind of how he plays the game. His IQ is really, really high. He plays the game the right way. He's a really good teammate. Playing for his others to make other guys better. His competitive fire, you know, really competes out there. He loved that about him. You can just tell that he's been taught the right way. So a lot of things as a coach that I have to teach with young guys, I don't have to teach this kid. He's been taught the right way. So I'm really excited about him.
Sounds like stuff out of a a book, a manual to say, man, he works really hard. He makes his layups.
First
he
in, eats last his Cheerios. Out.
You know, like, come on, man. Well,
what do you
get it?
What do you think they're going to say? Yeah, we're kind of questioning this pick ourselves. Well, in fact, how about Joe Cronin addressing the thoughts that the Blazers reached for this pick, Rashad?
Yeah, the goal was to get as far back as possible. You know, we didn't want to overdraft if we didn't have to. We weren't much more comfortable beyond 16 than that. So for us, it was too important to get him. We decided to do what some would call a reach. You know, we decided to take that swing and overdraft technically a player that we just really valued. It shows what we thought of him.
Well, he'd be definitely with the club next year. Is it possible that he stays in China for a year?
The plan is to bring him over here next year.
Well, there you go. And I don't know if we have the clip somewhere of Chauncey saying that he doesn't see this as a prospect situation, and that if they put him in a game now, you know, they could see him performing. And,
well,
you know, like, it's not one of those like, yeah, he's not going to play at first. You know, we'll put him in a little bit. It's like they expect big things for him. They're hyped about this pick, dude.
No, and he's not. He's a prospect, but he's not really a rookie. Like, he's been playing professionally.
Oh, he's
not
a rookie, immensely, brother.
But he's a. Oh, don't get me wrong. He's a rookie over here, but you know, Luka was also a rookie coming from, you know, a crazy league, and I'm not in any way comparing him to Luka. But I'm saying,
you know,
like,
I'll take it. Chinese Luka and let's do Chinese Jokic.
I mean, Jokic. I mean,
this is just
no. But I'm saying, when you
Jordan,
play,
I'm not serious.
When you play,
I know these, you guys aren't, but people online.
When you play
are,
in these other, when you play really in these are. Other leagues, and you're playing against adults, you're playing against grown ass men. Like, it is different, you know. So he wasn't playing in college like a lot of people. So there's not that whole like learning how to be professional, learning how to be an NBA professional for sure. But he's at least been playing with grown ups. So that part, I don't know if that learning curve is going to be as tough for him. That's just me.
Do you want to hear about what he likes to do off the court?
Let's hear it.
Sometimes I sleep. All time sleep. And I like play PS5. Yeah. And I like eat.
That's
awesome. Like a lot of us.
Yeah. I love it. He's adorable. I just want to put him in my pocket and take him home with me. Little young.
You're a big ass pocket
for
that.
Too young. Yeah.
He's just adorable.
He seems like a cool kid. And I think, you know,
he reminds me, that whole quote too reminds me of those like shirts that you see at Target and like the kids section, like eat, game, sleep,
repeat. Yep. Yeah, that's pretty much,
don't,
you know,
bother me, I'm gaming,
what it is. And so I mean, and I appreciate, you know, anybody that can show a little bit of their personality. It's got to be really hard coming from a whole different country. Like, it's hard enough to be a rookie and adjusting to the NBA life, but you're coming from a whole different country, probably without your family, you know, for the most part, and you're coming to a place like Portland.
But he's got,
which is very, very strange.
But he's
in itself
got a new family, the Yang Gang, baby.
Hey, I'll take it, man. We'll take care of this young man here. Mom's, dad, and out there, don't worry about it. We got him.
Now, honestly, so my feeling on the whole Blazers situation and everything that's going on is I'm starting to get, they're starting to drift into my Cowboys fandom territory here, where it's just like, you know what? I'm broken inside. I'm dead inside. I have no hope. I have nothing to look forward to. Nothing is ever going to change. So just give me something funny. Comedy, give me vibes, give me entertainment, you know. And so the idea of them having now a 7'2 dude from China that no one had even heard of, that apparently is akin to the Chinese Jokic, and the type of game that he had, I mean, it's on video, the type of game that he has is, you know, if he has the ball in the paint, he can back down and make a move, or he can dish it out. I think his game compared to what you're getting in Klingon's, they're two completely different skill sets. Both, you know, big, and so they can block shots, but I would say the offensive playmaking ability and scoring ability, it looks like on video that Yang is a little bit better at that than Klingon. So it's like, all right, not winning a championship anytime soon. Sure, why not? F it. Take this Chinese dude that nobody has ever heard of, and if he can ball out, great. If not, I didn't expect it to happen anyways.
No,
it's one of those.
That's fair.
It's very much just like hope for the best, but expect the worst kind of situations,
yeah,
which is sad to say about, you know, this team. But it's just where I'm at, dude. It's like, the last couple of years, I've been pissed. I've been wanting them to show that they care about being a championship contending team, not a playoff or a play-in contending team, which they're trying to do this year. Show me that you are trying to build a perennial winner in today's NBA, top 3 seed, 2 seed, one, you know, being one of the best in the West. And it's just clear they're not doing that right now. It's not going to happen for a while. They're still a million miles away from that. And so at this point, sure. Just give me something interesting. This is definitely something interesting.
Yeah, I think there is some benefit to having a 7'2" center, right? You know, not a lot of centers in the NBA right now are 7 feet. Right, most of these guys are 6'9", 6'10". They're kind of playing out of position and stuff. That's going to be a clear advantage. Not like when Yao came to the league, and you still had a bunch of not everybody was Shaq, but Vlade was still around, and guys like Chris Webber, were still around. Like these bigger bodies that you can throw at them. There's not a whole lot of big bodies in the NBA right now. Like, and you're seeing the benefit of what a 7 foot guy like Donovan Clingan can do for you as far as just changing shots at the rim. Doesn't block every shot, but, when Clingan is down there, it makes you do something crazy, some up and under that you didn't have to do.
You drive and you see him there and then immediately start looking back out and driving out.
Yeah, and so I think there is some benefits to having him. It's a wait-and-see situation. Like, what if we see him play early and he dazzles us and it's like, oh, okay, well, never mind, So we'll see. I guess we just have to wait till October to really, really see what we're getting. But for the most part, I'm kind of a Jordan. This is a very Blazers pick. It's a very Blazers rationale.
100%.
Yeah, very Blazer rationale about
after
why
I got over
they picked them.
Over the initial, shock that I had, it was just, I just was laughing, basically, at that point.
I went from being super excited because I was driving to do trivia on Wednesday, and so I'm listening in the car, and I hear the pick and I'm like, what the hell? Are you serious? Like, so, Blazer gang, I guess.
Yang gang, Blazers gang. Can I get some Mbop by Hanson as a bump back music? And when it's we come back from this break, and let's look at this Blazers roster, especially at the center position, because
we got a lot of them.
Got to figure something out. Went from drafting all guards to all centers, baby. Complete opposite.
We've got a type here.
We sure do. Do that next here, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. I also hope to see young Hanson be good. For the love of God.
Man, this is weird.
This is shaping up to be a weird offseason so far.
Well,
I mean,
they got to figure out the logjam at center, because now you have 5 centers in Yang, Donovan Clingan, DeAndre Ayton, Robert Williams, and Duop Reith. I don't know. It's Robert Williams. I feel like he is someone that a team that is contending for a championship that doesn't have a lot of money to spend, because his contract isn't that outrageous, right? Am I crazy? Like, his Robert Williams contract is only
like 9 to 13 million or something.
I was going
to
say,
like
it's like 12 it's mil or something like that. I was looking the other day and I'm totally spacing on it.
13.2.
There you go. I mean, that is a contract that a team that is contending for a championship can't afford. Like, hey, we don't have a lot of money to spend, but we need an upgrade at center, power forward, Robert Williams. Yeah, he's been injury prone, but maybe he can have a great season for us where he stays healthy and he's be able to propel us into as a championship contender. Totally can see that move and someone trading for him this offseason. Been wanting to do that and add him as a piece. The DeAndre Ayton thing, easier said than done, because that is $34 million that his contract is worth this year. And if someone's like, hey, we're going to trade for that contract because it's 1 year left and it will come off the books next year and we'll have this cap space, Portland's not going to trade him for a 1 year contract of a similar size. Like, there's no point in doing that unless that player is a huge upgrade. And so are you going to take on multiple players from a team so that way they can trade for DeAndre Ayton? And also, at that point, what team is wanting to trade for DeAndre Ayton? Which team values him? Like, he is such a question mark as far as what effort and what type of DA you're going to get on a nightly basis that he is a huge risk for a team to take. But if someone wants that contract and wants it coming off the books next year, I could see a middle of the road to lower team in the NBA, some team in the bottom, you know, 10 wanting to acquire that contract. But who that is, I don't know. Again, I don't know why you would want to do that. Again, the only reason I see is you're doing it not because you want the player, you want that contract because of how big it is with 1 year left. So
yeah, I mean, I at first I was going to say, man, it made sense for Ayton to go to a more of a competitor, but the truth is,
who
35 and who, and, who? That, and then on then you start saying who, and that's when it gets tricky because most of the competitors kind of have a guy in the middle that they really don't want to get rid of, right? So if you look at the Clippers, they've got Zubac, so they're probably not interested. Obviously, Memphis isn't interested. Maybe the Kings, you know, we've been hearing a lot of Domantas Sabonis and stuff like that and what that could potentially look like. So, but do the Kings really want to overpay for DeAndre Ayton? Probably not. But considering that the Kings have a couple guys that they, you know, on the perimeter, maybe a guy down low like Ayton could be helpful for them because they can get more shots and Ayton doesn't need as many shots. So I don't know. There's a few teams out there that could be, but for the most part, I think you see that 30, you said 34 million, 35 million, either way, around $35 million contract. And you got to scare a lot of people off.
Well, you got to match up to a certain point of that. I think it's like 10% less than that. Then you can match the contracts. But again, I'd have to go and look at a list of all the salaries in the NBA to see what player we would get in return for that that would make sense and would be an upgrade. Are you going to just take pieces, multiple players from a single team? But again, who's going to want to give up multiple players or assets to take on DeAndre Ayton?
No, I don't know, but what you mentioned...
And again, it's just for a year, so it's to me, it's not like, hey, you're taking him in this contract for 3-4 years, so a team might be more willing to do that. And that's why I think a team that's in that 20 to 30 range is like, hey, we need cap space. We need to offload these players because their contracts are 3 years for 20 mil and 14 mil, respectively. Let's get rid of these guys so that way we can take on the shorter contract. But again, I haven't looked at what team would even be interested in doing that.
Yeah, and at the moment, and we talked about it during the break, we don't have a draft pick for next year.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what you need. No, we talk about
no
all the time.
We have no first rounder, excuse me.
But that's what we talk about all the time is if this team is going to get better, it's going to happen through the draft. And that's hard to do when you don't have an opportunity to draft in the first round. So look for Ayton to be traded for some picks. Here's what we do know. There is going to be change. We can't have a roster with five centers. We can't have a roster with four point guards, and you already got rid of one of them. So we know that there is going to be change. There more than likely will be change before we get to the season. Because I don't know if you can roll out there with five centers. I don't know if you want to roll out there with no scoring. Because let's be honest, you let go of Anthony Simons, who's your best offensive weapon. And now you have to hope and pray that everything we've been saying about Shaden is true. You've gone all in on Shaden and Scoot, and you said this is the direction that you're going. You're hoping that Drew Holiday doesn't decide to leave or decides to stay or whatever the case is. But what does that do for Shaden and for Scoot and his minutes at this point? So there's a lot to be worked out as a Blazer. This is why having an owner is important. You have to get somebody in here to make great decisions. I don't know if that's going to happen before the season starts. But it's a weird time to be a Blazer fan. I'll be honest. I'm very, very – I heard this Pittsburgh Steelers fan talking earlier before the show started about how they're boycotting the Steelers, and they put all their Steelers stuff in a box, checkbook, pocketbook, all that stuff, and they're not going to use it. That's how I'm feeling about the Blazers. I might put all my stuff away and just wait till they figure it out.
Really quickly, one I'm not going to say huge solution, but at least out of the five, they can jettison one very quickly. Duop Reith, July 1st is actually a deadline for him to have guaranteed money on the books or not. So they got, 2-3 days? And I would assume at least two. Clear up a little bit of space. It's an easy, you know, just get rid of this. It's only $2.2 million, but it's also a body less at center that you have to deal with.
So yeah.
Duop Reith's probably gone.
Well, and I want to say that they gave him a 3-year deal, Scoot's rookie year, which I think was also his rookie year.
Exactly. And this, once again, it's not guaranteed. So, yeah.
Man, I'm seeing a lot of Laker fans on Twitter that want the Lakers to trade for DeAndre Ayton.
I can see that.
Go for it,
I
baby.
Can see that. Who would you want from the Lakers that would be worth it? Is Rui Hachimura still there?
Yeah, they wouldn't give Rui up, though.
But
They might. I don't know how sold they are on Rui.
Give me Connect. Seriously, at this point, I'm kind of with Joe. Like, you know what? If they're going to take a shot at Yang, give me Connect and see if that fits in. I think he's...
I mean, they already expressed that they'd be willing to trade him.
There you go.
That didn't go through.
So. I don't think Danny would...
For Ayton, I think...
Give me Bronny.
We can get a couple things for... You know, they're not going to let that happen.
Right out of town.
Yeah. They ain't going
to
let that happen.
You're trying to trigger me, Joe.
Come on, baby.
Especially now that Bron opted in today.
Let's unleash him.
Yeah, Bronny's not going no place.
If you're going to keep Denny at the four, then, I mean, Connect can come in and right after the, you know, right off the bench for Kamar at the three. Like, maybe get a little bit of minutes at the two, but, like, I see it working.
I don't know. Give me Jared Vanderbilt, too.
I'll take that long four.
Give me Jared Vanderbilt. Give me Dalton Connect and Bronny. I don't know.
Bronny would be great for sales.
And do they have do the Lakers have a first round pick next year? Because.
Right, take that too.
Yeah, can we have one of those?
That is not for DeAndre Ayton on an expiring deal.
No, that would not. No,
maybe two
of
those.
You know, honestly, at this point, I have no idea what people are going for anymore. We've seen the most lopsided trade deals.
Oh yeah, I said this. What was it? The Desmond Bane trade a couple weeks ago. I was like, it makes no sense.
DeAndre Ayton's probably going to go for six first. Like, we have no idea what guys are going to be worth at this point. Like, so we'll see. Especially if you're desperate like the Lakers. I think whoever we trade them to has to be desperate.
Yeah, and the Lakers, of all the contending quote-unquote teams, they kind of seem like the most desperate. You know, they're always seemingly they've been in desperation mode the last couple of years because they're trying to take advantage of this LeBron James window. So what we'll do in the next hour is we're going to take a look at this Drew Holiday, Anthony Simons trade. We have yet to react to it on this very show because I want to say it happened a day or two after. Oh, it happened Monday night.
Yeah,
Monday night. So it's been almost a week since. But we want to talk about that. The rest of the NBA landscape as far as draft picks and trades and possible trades to happen and people going different places. There's a lot of movement. It's that time of year in the NBA. So we're going to do hour number two talking about that as well as the Drew Holiday, Anthony Simons trade. Get to that next here. Sports Sunday, hour number two. 1080 The Fan.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sunday nap, baby.
Yeah, I gotta get Let's get this workout in first, and then I can go ahead and
Sunday Z's. I'm gonna go back to the girls, possibly a bagel sandwich.
Mm. Are you gonna make one or are you gonna order one?
She better have it ready when I walk in that door. Man, all right?
She's clearly not listening to the show.
I made her a quesadilla last night. A post Malone quesadilla.
Okay. What kind of protein?
Chicken.
Okay.
Shredded chicken.
Okay.
With some Tillamook cheddar and mozzarella in there.
Ooh, Tillamook cheddar. That's Tillamook sharp cheddar. That's my favorite.
I'm a white cheddar guy.
Honestly, as long as it's Tillamook, they really are the best cheese in the freaking United States.
Oh, like
I would put them honestly up against any cheese worldwide, actually.
The cheese, it was some of the best cheese.
It's the best cheese. I tell you what, it's great. It's never going to not be great.
It was fantastic though. It was a great quesadilla. I got compliments on my quesadilla skills last night from her and the BTJ. They were happy. They said a nice crust, a nice golden crust on that quesadilla.
Very good. Very good. I had some fish tacos last night and some shrimp tacos.
Can't go wrong.
You can't.
I think
I haven't had any other protein in my tacos except for those ones for almost a year now.
Ooh. I did smash burgers last night, actually.
That sounds awesome.
Got the plate, like the hot plate, put it on the grill, and then really did like a hot ass, like 600 degrees in the grill, and then true smash burger. It was delightful.
That sounds awesome. I might go ahead and
cheat. He gave me the nicest, longest piece of meat.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So good.
Damn right.
That's not the case anymore. You get the nice, long piece of fish.
Yeah, nice long
nice
piece
filet.
Of cod,
no wanted, Joe.
Yeah,
you know,
some shrimp.
Yeah,
Some shrimp scampi sounds really good.
It does.
Ooh,
it does. Hold the noodles, which sucks, you know. But whatever.
But yeah, I'm expecting. I'm definitely not expecting a bagel sandwich when I walk through the door. That's she'll be. I'll be lucky if she's even awake when I get back.
It sounds like y'all were kicking it real hard last night.
We got back from the concert. It ended at 11. We probably got back around midnight or something like that. And then, yeah, we had our post quesadilla and went off to bed. And then I made the mistake last night, though, because when you have a quesadilla, it's, you know, cheesy and saucy, and I had some sour cream with it. And, you know, it just was you almost get that oily greasiness from the butter and the pan, you know, and all that. I was like, man, I need something to cut through all this. And the girl goes, you shouldn't have it right now, but there are those Mexican Cokes in the fridge. I was like,
there it is.
Hey, it's 12:30 at night, but I think I'm going with a Mexican Coke.
Arguably the greatest soda, you know, to pair with any a burger or especially tacos
good.
Or something like that.
It is
like,
so good.
That real sugar is different.
It is. It just, my God, man.
Yeah.
It is fantastic.
That's incredibly, incredibly different.
I'd rather a Mexican Pepsi, honestly. Give me the glass
Mexican
bottle Pepsi.
Pepsi.
I think they're both winners.
You just
I didn't know Mexico was dabbling in the Pepsi game, too.
Yeah, it's harder to find.
You can't, exactly.
Harder
you can't
find,
find the bottles of Mexican Pepsi, but when I do, I'm like, give me like four of those because I'm going to put them in the fridge for later. There
yeah,
it
those are
so
legit
amazing.
As well.
What was amazing was the Blazers trade. An amazing trade.
I'm sure you guys were happy, right?
One of the best.
Honestly, no. I didn't
trade. Don't want to hear that now.
Damn bit.
Well, then let's re-sign Anthony Simons, huh? Let's give him a new 3-4 year deal around 30 to 35 million and then keep him on the roster. Let's do that.
He's going to give us
40. We down for that?
I was.
No, I was maybe more for acquiring either another piece on offense or somebody not 35 years old, but I digress.
Again, your options were... you re-sign Anthony Simons, which at this point, why would you do that? I would love to hear a compelling case on that. Paying $35 million for only offense, because you're going to get a turnstile on defense.
I think Danny's made the point.
He's not a playmaker. I mean, he's a microwave. So when he's on, he can get you 9 3-pointers in a game. And then when he's off, he's not really doing anything.
I think Danny's made the point, though, and I don't necessarily agree with this, that even when he is off, he is still one of the most efficient at doing that in the NBA. Maybe he's near the bottom. No, at scoring at a high clip and scoring with a lot of 3-pointers.
He's a microwave.
And let's be honest, there are lots of dudes in the NBA that do what Anthony Simons does as far as scoring the ball and don't give you anything else. Like, we don't want to just all of a sudden start saying, well, it's only because of this. No, there's tons of dudes throughout the NBA. Devin Booker's never been a defender. Never, ever. We don't talk about it, though, because he's cold and because he played for a team that was considered to be better than us for a long time. So, I don't know. I think there are lots of dudes in the league that just do one thing. And that's cool. Like, they don't give you assists. Dame scored a lot of points. Didn't give you a lot of assists. Didn't give you a bunch of rebounds. Didn't give you a bunch of, anything else. But he scored a lot. And I think
Not act like Dame wasn't playmaking and setting up his teammates.
Dame had one season where he had, like,
eight assists. Talk about someone that didn't pass. That was CJ, unless he absolutely had to. Yeah. And that was when Dame was injured. And even then, he was reluctant to do so.
No, for sure. For sure. But I'm just trying to make the point that, like, there are lots of dudes that have had great NBA careers by just doing one thing. Reggie Miller made a career out of doing just one thing. I don't think Reggie has another shot outside of a 3-pointer. We were all shocked to see Reggie dunk the ball at times. Like, oh, shoot, Reggie can dunk. So, I mean, I don't want to just say that. I know he was our guy, and we saw him a lot more than anybody else, but I don't know. I still think there's a lot of value in that. So we're going to say there was no value in a Reggie Miller? Yes, there is. There is definitely a value in a guy like Anthony Simons who can do nothing else but score.
Yeah,
so that's all I'm saying. Maybe not as your number one. Maybe he's not as your team's best player.
Well,
that's fine.
That's the thing is, we just tried doing that for the last two seasons, him being the guy. And what is that? I mean, he can be a third guy on a team, maybe even fourth. Like, I think that on a championship team, Anthony Simons is maybe your third leading scorer at best.
Well, we're about to see.
We're not about to see, because he's not going to win a championship with Boston this
year.
Well,
and they're even
considering
flipping.
I was going to say.
No, they're considering flipping him for sure. But if he comes in and has a good season with Tatum out, and especially if Jaylen Brown is going to stay, I don't know why you would shop Jaylen Brown at this point. They're really talking about blowing this whole thing up in Boston. If that's true, they're idiots.
Well, they're looking for a haul for Derek White, too.
If you're looking to blow this thing up after 1 year and your star got hurt, you are idiots. Like, man, work through it and try to figure it out. But, I mean, hey. But, again, if Simons comes out and has a good season in Boston, let's be real, the East isn't as strong as the West, and we know that. And if he comes out and has a great season in the Eastern Conference, where he's already averaging 20 in the West, Do I think he with no Tatum and with potentially Brown, Trey, like, he can average a lot of points. So we'll see what happens there. But I think he will be flipped. I don't think he'll be in Boston forever. But if he does well,
I think he would have pissed off more Blazer fans by keeping him than not moving him. I mean, again, I just think that his time here it's ran its course. You have had him be the quote unquote leader of this team, which he doesn't seem to have interest in doing over the last two seasons. And what you have with him is what you got last year. Like, that is going to be, if Anthony Simons is your best offensive option, that being a 33-34 win team is about where you're going to sit at best. So it's to me, it's time run its course. And if that means that we got to trade for, and again, he's going to make just as much as Jrue Holiday, unless he has a terrible season next year and falls off of a clip, then quite frankly, good trade by Portland, right? We traded him while he was hot. But I just think that ran its course. And to get Jrue Holiday, who, and I was saying this yesterday to Jordan, is not going to be like, hey, Scoot, come here, let me tell you a couple things about the NBA. He's just going to do him. Jrue Holiday is going to just do what he's always done, and that's going to show the players on this roster how to be a professional, how to be a top-tier defender, how to prepare for your opponents, your in-game mentality, your in-game performance, hard work. He's just going to do that and lead by example. It's not going to be the whole, like, hey, come here, let me talk to you about how things are in the NBA or what I do. Sure, there might be coaching that aspect, and hopefully he's down to do that, and if so, great, but I would rather take Drew Holiday at this point just for the sake of something different in that locker room, a leader. I mean, his career, look at his resume. I mean, like, two world championships, a Olympic gold medalist, six-time all-defensive player. I'm down for that at this point. Through the Terry Stotts years and all the years where we didn't care about defense, and now it seems like we're kind of having a shift in mentality towards more of a defensive-minded team. Sure, sign me up.
I mean, I'm happy about it, too. Is Drew happy about it? Is the question. That's the first thing we heard was like, man, he's kind of pissed off about being in Portland again. And the last time he was here, he was like, get me out of here. Now this roster looks less promising than it did before. So
let's also be real, too. This roster is just very weird.
It was, and it's weirder now than it was when we got the trade the first time. So I can imagine him coming back like, F this noise. I'm not
staying
here.
It's kind of like an island of misfit toys. In a sense, like, it's just at point guard, Drew Holiday and Scoot Henderson, who's your third overall pick from a couple of years ago, who you hope takes a huge leap.
But it's probably coming off the bench now that Drew Holiday is here.
And then he got Shaedon Sharpe, who is a absolute baller, bucket getter, but seems like he doesn't care half the time. Like, just, you know, his mentality, and like, he doesn't seem to have that killer mentality.
I haven't ever heard
Shaedon
talk.
He just seems very chill, and he's just always at, you know, very mellow about everything.
He borders on aloof almost, but it's not aloofness, but it's not resting bitch face. It's like resting I don't care face, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it just seems, he is just a very even keel person and doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. You got Denny Avdija, which, you know, is he able to make another leap? Jeremy Grant, who was once a great player or a good player and now is coming off of the worst season of his career. DeAndre Ayton, which nobody seems to like. Plus, we drafted two centers over the last 2 years. I mean, who else am I forgetting? Matisse Thybulle, who's a great defender but can't play half the time because he's injured.
Don McClingan, who doesn't have an offensive move.
Well, and like,
it's so janky, and maybe it's they figure it out over the next couple months where they're able to come together and have a coherent offense. But who's going to be your leading scorer? Who's going to be your guy down the stretch?
Oh, it's Shaedon.
Who's going to be? I mean, it should be.
Well, but Portland Trailblazers fans have twisted themselves into knots during this whole process on social media, saying things like, oh, it's an obvious Chinese Jokic situation. Oh, Shaden's going to step up. Like, that's the thing that really gets to me, is you will do anything here in Portland to sound like Trump when it talks about our players. They're going to be great. They're going to be the best ever. That is all I hear on social media about anybody that comes to Portland, regardless of if they're a misfit, if they're like somebody that hasn't reached their ceiling yet. It's all about potential here, and for some reason y'all just eat it up, and I don't effing know why.
Because what else are we gonna eat?
There's nothing else
for us to eat. And on top of that, again, we've talked about this a million times. We don't have a baseball team. We don't have a football team. We don't have. This is it.
Doesn't mean we should buy the crap line of.
I mean,
this
if you love sport, it kind of does. You don't have a choice. Like, it's either get on board or, you know, just be miserable on the sidelines and not watch or whatever. Like, I mean, it's whatever at this point. This is just kind of what it is. This is what it means to be a Blazer fan for now. And we could all be wrong, and maybe this is the roster that changes everything.
Listen,
I doubt it, but whatever.
And this is how it will go for me with the Blazer season. I'll check in for about the first 5 games, maybe 6-7. We'll probably be 2-5, and then I'll tune out for a few months.
What if they're 5-0 or 5-1?
Well, then you got me at least for a few more games. Until they're,
it's happened before.
Until that 5-0 turns into like 8-9, and then that's when you lose me.
Yeah. So we'll see. Like, I mean, I'm trying to hold out hope because, unfortunately, Jordan, that's all we can do. You know, until we get an owner that is competent enough to make good decisions, we just have to hold out hope that they're doing the right thing.
Again, the moves to be made, probably not a lot. I know they have a mid-level exception. They have the contracts of DeAndre and Jeremy Grant, but also I just don't see what other team front office in the league is like, you know what I want to do? I want to trade for that Jeremy Grant contract after he just had one of the worst seasons of his life. That sounds like a good idea. You know what, DeAndre Ayton? I want to trade for that contract after he gave up one of the more inconsistent performances of his career over the last season. And I don't know if I can depend on him on a night-to-night basis. And motivating him is going to be a tough challenge. And I'm going to get 10 straight games out of him that are going to be phenomenal. And then I'm going to get 10 straight that I can't play him. And he is simply not helping this team at all. That sounds like a good idea.
What if you included him in a trade with a team like a Boston who is literally trying to clear salary? It's why they got rid of Drew. It's why they got rid of Kristaps Porzingis. Not every team is the desperate situation, or at least is in the desperate situation that the Celtics are, where they're paying $150+ million over luxury tax, and then a new owner coming in looking at that, you know, is like, no, I am not keeping that on my books. So if you could find, not necessarily a winner, because I hear what you guys are saying, it's like, DeAndre's not great, but what is great in the NBA, what is a huge asset, is the expiring contract. Remember, Rafe freaking LaFrent, who wasn't playing, he was at home like in Indiana in his last contract for the Blazers year, it was like 2012, 2013, and he was traded as part of a pretty big deal to a team that wanted to get money off the books. So whether or not Ayton actually comes through on the court, he is valuable as an asset.
And that's what I was saying, yeah. But like for a team that is still trying to build, like, again, Lakers, I could see it happening because they're desperate and they want a big, but I see if any team's going to trade for him, it's somewhere in the bottom third of the league that is trying to build their roster, and they see a $34 million contract coming off the books, and that's where they're like, eh, we'll take that on. That's fine. Yeah. 1 year DeAndre Ayton, but we get $34 million at the end of the year. Okay, I'm down for that. That's how I see that happening.
How about DeAndre for Bradley Beal? No one takes Bradley Beal's like contract off the Suns. Why not Portland?
I'm good.
We
on
need
Bradley
offense.
Beal.
I no, like
Bradley
seriously, Beal.
That's my guy. But
we need
no,
offense
thank you.
And shooting. Yes.
I mean, but I'll say this:
send DA right
paired
back to
with
Phoenix.
Paired with a Drew right. Holiday. All of a sudden, Bradley Beal wouldn't feel as weird, you know. So, but yes, there needs to we do know there will be another change coming. We just need to know when it's going to be. There's no way they go into the season with five centers.
No,
they can't.
Nope.
We'll see.
All right, let's talk about some more NBA stuff because there was a draft. So we can talk about some of the draft players, talk about some of the other NBA rumors going around, who could be on the move, who's staying put. I missed last week when the Kevin Durant trade went down. Yeah, I was in Central Oregon for that.
Yeah.
That happened like right in the middle of the show, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah, that was cool.
It did.
Breaking news here on the Fan. Let's get to some more NBA draft stuff for other teams around the league. Get to that next tier. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Let me throw a little conspiracy theory out there while you're doing
that. No.
It's not a bad one.
This is two. This is your second one of the day.
But I think it's actually legitimate that the Blazers...
I want to hear it.
I think they all say that.
I want to hear it.
All right, what
this
is it?
This isn't like a 9/11 thermite freaking thing like with like the two towers, okay? It's that the Blazers actually were in on Jaeger Demon. Maybe this is more hope from my end and not necessarily conspiracy theory, so let's do that. It's not a conspiracy theory tinfoil hat. It's hope. I wanted the Blazers to get Jaeger Demon, 6'9 point guard from BYU.
I did too.
As soon as it seemed like the perfect fit. If Scoot doesn't work, you've got a bigger guy. His shooting touch seems to be going in the right direction. He's got great passing ability. And he already looks like he's NBA ready, minus the shooting, but he's still young enough that that can get a lot better quickly. When he went at 8, the Blazers pivoted and went to Young Hanson. They're like, you know what? All right, now we're going to establish our backup plan here as plan A. So, you know, I hope the Blazers were in on Mr. Demon, but obviously didn't happen.
Well, whether it was... Igor or Colin Murray Boyles at 9. You know, they obviously weren't going to draft Malawach if he was available.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's where, you know, because there was also Noah Senge, there was Derek Queen, there was Carter Bryan. All those guys were still available. And those were players that some Blazer fans are going to keep an eye on. I would say especially Carter Bryant, yeah. Seeing that is who some fans wanted and felt like was the right pick. I don't really think that's a whole crazy conspiracy theory. I think that was possibly what happened is once they got to 8 or 9, they immediately started talking to teams in those low teens to, and if again, they had intel that at 17, the Timberwolves, because they ended up drafting a center right after that, the Timberwolves. If they had intel that the Nets in the at 19 possibly wanted to go with him, or one of their later round picks in the 26, 27 range that the Nets had, they're like, hey, you know what? We'll go. As Joe said, we were comfortable going to 16 because we wanted to make sure that we didn't go so far back that he wasn't going to be available. So that's the move that they decided to take. And there's going to be players that we all keep an eye on as far as Blazer fans go, to see did we miss out on something? Did we miss out on a Colin Murray Boyles by two picks? You know, did we miss out on Carter Bryant, who was taken at San Antonio, number 14 overall? New Orleans making one of the more puzzling moves and trading up 10 spots and giving up a first round pick next year to go after Derek Queen. Like, you want to talk about a team who's under fire for making a move and possibly making a reach and giving up an asset to do that? It's New Orleans Pelicans, man. Like, that is going to be a team, like, you know, as much as people are watching the Blazers and what's going to happen with Young, a lot of people are going to be watching the Pelicans and see what happens with Derek Queen, because that's a team who, again, moved up 10 spots, gave up a first-round pick for next year, unprotected first-round pick, when you're probably not going to be very good either, is my guess, as the New Orleans Pelicans. I mean, your team now, granted, you still have some good players on there, but you traded Brandon,
best player.
You traded Brandon Ingram last year. You traded C.J. McCollum just recently to the Washington Wizards. Hey, at least they got Jordan Poole, though.
Yay. Right? Right? Jordan Poole's on the team. Poole party.
He'll play better defense than CJ.
We'll see if you have Zion at as the season starts too. There's questions and, you know, if he's even going to be a Pelican to start the season. There are some players we're going to look at that and be like, did we pass up? I mean, you know, Kasparis Jakachonis, he dropped all the way to 20. I mean, he was being talked about as one of the picks there at number 11. So, and it also goes to say that, like, that makes the pick for Young Hansen, like, even more, like, under the microscope. Because there are multiple players that were being mocked, or that fans wanted, or that other people that are watching Portland's situation thought would have been in a better fit. And you didn't draft them because you liked Young Hansen that much. You did not draft Carter Bryant because you liked the prospect of trading down and getting Young Hansen. You did not draft Kasparis Jakachonis because of the prospect of drafting Young Hansen. So, again, dude, it's, you know, I am very curious. There's going to be a few guys in this draft that Blazer fans are going to have their eye on for the next 3 to 5 years.
That's usually how it goes. And I the biggest hope is that Jan ends up being one of those guys that, you know, everybody else looks at and goes, oh, man, I wish we knew. You know, I wish we knew what the talent we have. But, yeah, when I look at Carter Bryant, because he was one of the few guys that I'd kind of done some research on, because he could have fell to 11. Apparently he was still there, so not taking a forward. And I was just looking at – What the Blazers need is 3-and-D, right? They need a wing that can defend, that can shoot a three a little bit. And I thought Carter Bryant could have been a great opportunity to do that. I guess the Blazers thought otherwise. But, I mean, I'm not mad because, like you said, the Timberwolves' next pick went center. So I don't know why the Timberwolves keep going with Frenchmen. You know, they must be really something there. They know something
French
we don't.
French centers?
Yeah, they know something we don't with Gobert and now – with Behringer, is that how you say his name?
Sure.
Or how do you say it in
it's
the French
like
way?
It's not like Béranger or
yeah,
some
Béranger. Yeah,
Joan Behringer.
Yeah.
Jean Béranger. I'm going to go with that.
But it's tough to be like, it's hard for me to judge a lot of these picks, because I'm not sure what every franchise is looking for. Some are drafting off of fit. Some are drafting off of need. Some are taking best player available. So it really depends on, you know, I guess, which direction your franchise is in. If you're OKC, pick whatever you want to, right? You don't really need anything. Just take whatever is available, whoever you think would fit. If you're Portland, you need to be a lot more strategic. If you're Atlanta, you need to be a lot more strategic about what it is you're doing and how you're moving. So you can kind of see that in the draft, because a lot of it is like I said, I don't really know a lot of these players. The biggest story, obviously, of the draft outside of Cooper Flagg was Ace Bailey. Obviously not going.
Oh, my God.
Which, you know, whatever. Like, we see it in football all the time, literally all the time. Like, guys say, I'm not going there, or my son ain't going there, or my grandson isn't going there. I think his team is terrible, whoever his team is.
And Utah's like, yeah, right.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, you're coming here anyway, bro. Sorry. So, I mean, say what you want to, but, I mean.
Did you see the report on him today?
It didn't seem like he's sad. See, when he was, he had the Utah shirt on, just, he was smiling.
I think his
pictures.
Agent, his the guy that's representing him, it's like his former AAU coach is just a boob. Like, he's just doesn't know what he's doing.
No, but he was actually photographed on the court with the Jazz. Obviously showed up yesterday as he said he would.
All smiles?
Yeah, like, smiles, so. And hadn't even checked in. They took and I'm sure this was set up for social media, but they took a picture of his suitcase with his hat sitting on a suitcase and him playing in the basketball court. Like, he went straight to the facility. So, ready to go. And
yeah, I mean,
what
listen,
more do you want?
I can imagine being sad. I don't know. Where is Ace Bailey from?
That's a good question.
I mean, he went to Rutgers.
He went to Rutgers, so that, I mean,
but like, where did he grow up?
What, Rutgers?
Chattanooga, Tennessee. Far away from home, man. That's
Utah, Salt Lake City is a huge contrast.
Chattanooga, Tennessee, Utah, Salt Lake City, one in the same.
Tomatoes, tomatoes, right? Not at all. Not at all. So I can imagine, like, when the first four picks are Dallas and San Antonio, Philly, you know, North Carolina, Salt Lake City, really? Like,
yeah, just after not, just being in New York.
Yeah, I'm not happy about that, but you know, whatever. Like, I'm in the NBA now, so who cares? But yeah, I can imagine initially, like, ugh, really? Okay, I'll go, but I'm not gonna like it. Who knows? Maybe he gets there and he loves it, and they love him, and then they win or whatever. But Utah hasn't had the best track record about keeping their young talent there, unless you're Stockton and Malone.
All right, let's take a break. We're way over. Some more NBA news and notes when we get back. But first, Schultz with the SportsCenter update. LeBron James, he opts in for $52.6 million for an extra year in L.A. So, shocker, not going anywhere. This was just announced a little bit ago. Julius Randle is signing his extension with, a new 3-year, $100 million deal to stay with the Timberwolves. Mm. So Julius Randle will be remaining in Minnesota.
I don't know if that's worth the money, but okay.
I mean, $33 million a year for Julius Randle, that's not that bad.
Could what be did he lot. Do in the playoffs?
I mean, he had some really good games and he had some really bad games.
For Julius Randle, it's more bad than good.
I wasn't a fan of Julius Randle in New York. I thought that towards the end of his tenure and in the middle of it, at times he would take plays off, and he was kind of, quite honestly, a little bitch about it. But then he went to Minnesota. He was rejuvenated. I started to appreciate his game a little bit more. I just think in the Western Conference Finals, he didn't show up as much as he would like to. I don't think he... He earned some points back in my book. Julius Randle did this season. So I think him at 33 mil is not that terrible. Let's see. Outside, I mean, it's smaller notes. Kelly Oubre, Sixers, $8.4 million option. Dorian Finney-Smith declines his option with the Lakers, so he's going to be a free agent. The trade from yesterday, the Bulls trading Lonzo Ball to the Cavaliers for Isaac Okoro. Whatever, you know, if Lonzo Ball is able to stay healthy, I guess that's pretty interesting with that Cleveland team.
I think that's huge. If Lonzo is able to, again, you said it, he's
it's
able to be
huge,
healthy.
It's much easier said than done for him.
No, I mean, but he played most of the season, you know, pretty healthy once he was able to come back. You know, the Bulls were trash, but so it didn't really matter.
He played 35 games last year.
No, I'm saying he missed like the first part of the season, but when he was able to come back.
I thought you just said he played most of the season.
I mean, he played, no, not most, forgive me. He played almost half the season. You know, because when he came back, but
he's played 35 games the last two seasons each. So 35, and actually, excuse me, when I say last two seasons, because he missed two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So he has played a total of 70 games since 2021.
As your starter, probably not the guy that you're going to roll out there to be your point guard. However, for him to come off your bench, and considering that Lonzo is a 6'6 point guard who can pass and who can shoot, I think that can be a huge, huge help for this Cavaliers squad, who really kind of struggled with scoring off the bench.
One move that is possibly not going down. This team and this player were talking. It was the Detroit Pistons and Malik Beasley. There were serious talks about a new 3-year, $42 million contract for Malik Beasley. He might not be in the league anymore because he's currently being investigated for gambling. Yeah. So the, and it's not just like, oh, just some guys poking it. The U.S. District Attorney's Office is investigating Malik Beasley on allegations of gambling related to NBA games and prop bets. So they were, the Pistons and him were talking, and then the Pistons were like, say what? What's going on here?
Yeah. When are these dudes going to learn? I don't understand. Did the Shohei situation not show anybody?
They won't.
That this is not a good idea to bet on the sport that we play.
Well, and Shohei didn't bet on the game.
He didn't. But I'm saying the situation, you know, with this, with the, just gambling in general. But then
we've seen in every sport. We saw, was it Calvin Ridley? We saw the, what is it, Jonte Porter, the dude last year.
Yeah. When are we going to learn? Malik Beasley doesn't seem like the sharpest knife in the drawer anyway.
Beasley's attorney said an investigation is not a charge. Malik is offered the same right of the presumption of innocence as anyone else under the U.S. Constitution as of now. Well, he has not been charged with anything.
Where there's smoke, there's typically fire. Then, I mean, again, guilty until proven or innocent until proven guilty, depending on who you are. But I don't know. This is kind of one of those things right now. Like, this is stupid. Like, you can lose your NBA career for gambling on placing prop bets on your own sport. Why?
It was against the Blazers, too. At least one of the games that the feds are investigating. He had like six rebounds.
Someone watch the film.
No, seriously. It's weird when you see like a... It's always funny, and I'm sure the algorithms... That's the cool thing about this all being like above board now, you know, and all these books like are legally doing this, because when these algorithms see a jump in, you know, either some money placed on a bet that's not normally happening or something happening very quickly, it's usually an indicator of some kind of maybe some inside information or something leaked or something like that. So when you see this happen, I think they said that the line on his rebound over under moved like 300 points betting wise. Yeah, people start to get suspicious. Well, can't do that.
Well, when this is happening too, now Twitter has gone to posting just different highlights, being like, "Yeah, he's 100% guilty." There's a clip of him just getting blown by Tyrese Halliburton, blowing by him with minimal like defensive effort.
He didn't even try.
It is like. It's like when you're stoned and someone like fake tries to punch you and you flinch like 2 seconds later. That's what happens. Like Tyrese Halliburton drives by him and Malik Beasley like a whole second later is like, huh? And looks back.
What do you mean?
Like, oh God. He was so fast. Yeah. Oh my God. There's another one of him, a ball bouncing off of his hands out of bounds, late in the game. It's not looking good from Malik Beasley. Whenever you got the U.S. District Attorney's Office investigating things.
Isn't he the one that was dating Larsa Pippen?
No, I believe that was... Oh, God. I feel like it was another Beasley, but maybe I'm wrong. It could have been.
Why are any of these dudes with Larsa, man? Like, Well, there's two reasons I can think of, but like...
I was about to say Michael Beasley, but he definitely was not dating...
No.
Yeah, it was Malik Beasley. Yeah.
So he's just taking L's all the way around, like...
Well, and this was back, the allegation is from the 23-24 season. Was that before Jonte Porter was banned? Because I'm trying to remember, like, you guys asked the question, like, well, how do these players keep doing this? It seems like a lot of these, like the recent minor league baseball players that have all finally gotten off their suspensions, these were allegations from years ago, you know, as betting was becoming legalized. So I agree, these guys are idiots, but it sounds like this was from a season or two ago, kind of right as the Jonte Porter stuff was going big.
Well, one of these is from, last season, as mentioned by Jordan, against the Portland Trailblazers. Odds on Beasley recording fewer than 2.5 rebounds moved significantly. Before the game, from around +120 to around -250 due to a surge of action on the under. Beasley finished with 6 rebounds in the bets that were deemed unusual lost.
Yeah, that's a big movement.
Yeah.
So dumb.
Yeah.
I don't even feel bad for you if you lose your NBA career.
And so if
like,
it was,
that's stupid.
If it was -250 on the under, it was probably +300 on the over, which he hit. So there you go. Like, that's a problem.
Anyways, other big transactions today besides LeBron opting in and the Julius Randle deal to the Timberwolves, 3 years, $100 million. Bojan Bogdanovic retiring after 10 seasons. As I mentioned earlier, Finney Smith declined his option with the Lakers. So this is the calm before the storm. I'm sure we will hopefully be sitting here next week with some more stuff to talk about, because next week, I believe, is when free agency starts on July 6th. So
the free agency market isn't super huge this year.
No, but we'll see with trades and, you know, anything happens there, and see if the Blazers pull the trigger on anything. We'll read some texts on the last segment here of how some of the Blazer fans feel after this week. Get to that next year. Finish it up. Sports Sunday right here on 10 of the Fan. Blazers have a top five defense with Drew. Ayton has anchored a finals team already.
All true.
Blazers will make the playoffs, is someone someone said there. How about that?
That is exactly what I'm talking about.
God forbid that someone has hope for their Portland Trail Blazers, Jordan.
It's not hope, you
I think
guys.
Jordan wants the Blazers to fail.
No. Stop
wants
this.
He wants Scoot to be terrible. He wants Joe Cronin to be fired.
Scoot might as well be Markelle Fultz.
I don't know about you. I root for my teams.
I try to. It's tough.
You guys.
It's tough.
This right here. You know what? You make me out to be like East Coast negative Nancy all the time. Joe, we said this yesterday and agreed on this point when we were in for Sinner and Saint, that you root for your team trying to win a championship. You want your team to be out there going for it, right? That's kind of the basis of how I watch sports. When it doesn't seem like they're even close to doing so, I've got a major issue with that. And I can't take hope year after year after year. I've said this about the Mariners: hope in one hand, spit in the other. Tell me which one fills up first. And if the line back is, well, what else are we going to do? Ask for better. Demand for better from the organization. What we're going to do.
All right, hold on. What I ask of you is present better options. And that's what I feel like I don't get out of some people who are like, well, why don't we just become a championship team? And it's also a matter of like, okay, so build a roster.
Well,
build a championship team. Show me the moves that should be done.
They should have interviewed a GM, right? They shouldn't have just hired Joe Cronin right out of their own.
Danny
Ainge was available at the time. Why not go get one of the best names in basketball and one of your former players at the time to come in who's built a championship team?
And Danny Ainge says yes.
I'm not saying that he would have, but they didn't even give that as an option, Joe. That's my problem with this organization.
That?
Yes, they talked to nobody.
Do you know that they didn't maybe entertain and call him, and then he said, no, I'm not going
It is public knowledge that they did not go outside of the organization, that the job was just handed to Joe Cronin. Those are the kinds of things, and if you want other solutions, go get DeMontis Sabonis. Don't screw up the trade for C.J. McCollum.
How?
There was a deal proposed a couple of weeks ago that would have made sense. DeAndre Ayton to the Sacramento Kings plus a couple of picks. It actually works salary-wise. Don't screw up the trade for C.J. McCollum, and instead of getting Elijah Hughes back, get Nikhil Alexander-Walker, who's doing amazing things for the Timberwolves.
So here's the thing.
I've got solutions for you.
And the Kings just say yes to that.
I'm not saying. You just asked for solutions. I'm giving them to you. I'm giving you ideas.
But those are solutions under the assumption that Danny Ainge is like, okay, yeah. The Sacramento Kings are like, okay, yeah, we'll give you DeMontis Sabonis.
Okay, so here's the whole thing. And I hear what both of you are saying, because both of you are
trade for Ann Edwards.
Both of you are right.
That's not my point.
The truth is, it comes to one of those things, like you kind of said, Jordan, like, demand more, right? Ask for more. And it's kind of like a guy who is not necessarily working out, doesn't keep himself up, not showering, not doing all these things, but he demands a hotter chick. You know what I mean? Like, who are we to demand anything from anybody at this point? And I think that's the thing. Our city is not equipped for even an all-star game here. You don't have a whole lot of – you have people that pay piece of the trade, but do they really want those pieces, number one? And do they want those pieces on their books unless they're an expiring contract, number two? It's one of those things. You kind of get who you're able to get and kind of hope for the best from there. And until you get people, until you start winning, it's going to be, even when you were winning, you weren't getting free agents to come here. Like, and so whomever the GM is, like, the building through the draft, that's the way you're going to have to do it. There is no getting, the best player we ever got to just sign here was Melo, and he did it because he had to. Nobody else was messing with Carmelo. After that, man, it gets real, real murky. And I don't think a great GM is going to solve that, to be honest. Kevin Pritchard was building something great here, but he did it through the draft. Like, and so that's all. Anytime we've had anything great happen to us here in Portland,
do you know why he had to build through the draft?
Because Portland sucks.
No. Because Paul Allen, who had been signing free agents, who had Bob Whitson actually going out and acquiring big names, said, "I don't want to be at the top of the luxury tax anymore."
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.